love it when the track of the week is unexpected, even by me playing it by the seat of our pants. My goal with the track of the week for Permanent Weekly was to highlight a video game track that I love. But also I've been going into it with trying to keep it relevant to the episode, and this week's is the song Path by Apocalyptica from the Death Stranding original soundtrack. This is the song that we just heard in Death Stranding's release date trailer, which I'll get into in a minute. Welcome to Permadeath Weekly. I am your host, Bill Conway. Welcome, everybody, to the week of May 31st. We've made it to the end of May. 2 months have gone by now since we started this little show. I've missed 1 week. And if you're thinking, Bill, what the fuck? You missed 2 weeks. One episode is missing from YouTube. And that's only up on podcast services, and Spotify and Riverdale if you want to listen. So if you're looking for the missing episode, it's there. You can go ahead. That's old news now, but you know, we still read history books. So there's nothing wrong with going backwards. So it's been 2 months, which, you know what? Pretty proud of that. Pretty proud that I'm still here in front of the microphone, but also because I've been threatened by one of my, good friends who's also named Bill. That if I stop the show, they'll be held to pay. So I pretty much have to keep going at this point if I want to live at all. So this is the show that keeps me alive. Hopefully it's keeping you alive. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. Hopefully the weather is nice, because the weather has been pretty fucking shitty. By the way, I'm living in Tornado Valley over the last like 2 or 3 weeks. Ever since the weather broke and got warmer, as soon as winter ended, the tornado is like, it's time? And they're just looking for a bud or something. They're always out. It's honestly scary in a way. I mean, we've seen tornadoes ravage multiple states in the U.S. over the last week or two. And it's kind of abnormal, especially for my area. You know, one of the things I was always told growing up was like, oh, you know, back when I was just in my young age learning of tornadoes, as you do when you're a kid, I would always ask, you know, like, could I die by a tornado? Maybe I didn't say it necessarily in that way, so direct. But, you know, as a kid, like, could a tornado come here? And so I was like, nah, we live in the valley. There's no room for tornadoes to form here. And that's always been like the thing I lived by. And I never questioned its scientific roots. I never questioned what the adults were telling me. I've just always lived, 27 years now, assuming tornadoes can't fucking form here, goddammit. Well, they've been. They've been. I'll tell you. Last year, we had one destroy a bunch of shops. And this year now, we've had 3 or 4, 5, 6, maybe, tornado warnings / washes. Frankly, I'm sick of it. But, you know, climate's fine. Anyway, this week, we had some pretty, we're in like the bubble phase of the bubbling up phase of E3 right now. And I want to take a very strong stance about what I will cover on weeks leading up to E3. Because we did our E3 prediction episode, which, by the way, you can check it out on YouTube right now. A better sounding version will go up on the podcast feed at some point. But for right now, we streamed the audio. You can't see our faces, but we streamed our E3 2019 predictions, myself, Abby, and Kinross, which, by the way, if this is your first time listening to Permadeath, Permadeath Podcast is our main show where I'm joined by two of my best friends. It ain't just me. You can go check out our E3 predictions there. There's a lot of things like being confirmed for E3. Like, I just saw I'm putting the show together, what I'm going to talk about, and I'm looking through Feedly and everything, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, they just confirmed that there's a Darksiders game that's going to be at E3. There's rumors for this. There's rumors for that. There's confirmations for this. And it's like, man, all this stuff is technically news, and I should cover it. But, like, that's just going to keep happening. And I'd rather have something tangible to discuss rather than, like, you know, somebody on Twitter said this or that. And what's funny is I have a story in here that's pretty much exactly that. But, you know, it's just that there's so many things popping off in the weeks leading up to E3 that I don't want to, I don't want to create expectations that I'm going to be going in on those, you know, so hard. Because E3 is so close, I really don't feel the point in speculating beyond our predictions episode. So if you want to really hear things, you know, and actually so far we're pretty close, dead on, with things that have been confirmed. And things that have been heavily rumored, and those rumors are getting hotter as we get closer. The stuff we discussed in that episode, I think we're pretty fucking smart. But anyway, first thing to discuss this week is Death Stranding. Big shocker, by the way. Death Stranding, Hideo Kojima's next game, which we all know is infamous for its vague trailers and its build up to its launch since Kojima was done dirty by Konami. This is his next IP. This is his next big venture after Metal Gear Solid. And it's one of those things where every time we would see a trailer, everyone would collectively go, huh? You know, we got babies in tubes. We've got Norman Reedus covered in tar. We've got Mads Mikkelsen just always looking so good, by the way. Mads Mikkelsen, just a hell of a specimen. I gotta be honest with you. I also don't think anyone has a cooler face than Mads Mikkelsen. Think about one person who has a cooler face. You can't say me. Because, especially, you can't see me right now. You have no idea how uncool I look. In fact, I'll describe it for you. Very uncool. We have, you know, this whole concept that, you know, has been put into place a little bit more with this week's trailer. But it's such an interesting game. And it's a game that I've lost interest, gained interest, lost interest, gained interest as the years have gone on. And, you know, we just kind of have always learned nothing. And we still have learned nothing, but we've seen gameplay now. And after yesterday's trailer, was it yesterday? I'm recording this on Thursday, May 30th. Was it yesterday it came out? I'm asking you as if you could respond. You can't. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. After yesterday's trailer, I'm interested in this game. I am very, interested in what it will be. And there's a reason I picked the track of the week this week, not just to be relevant to this first story, but also because the music was rad, man. Like, once the music was kicking in, they had the violin in there, like electric violin sound. Like, I'm like, dude, this is rad. The music has me hooked, has me by the throat. You know, the concepts presented are very interesting. It's hard watching the trailer and trying to really decipher what's going on. There's a lot of talk about we got confirmation it takes place in the United States, which I'm not sure if that was confirmed before, but they explicitly state being in the United States, and Norman Reedus is acquaintances with the president of the United States. And there's a lot of talk about a fractured and broken America and how it's just divided. And it's so on the nose and allegorical for today's climate in sociopolitical divide and all of that stuff. And I'm super interested in where Kojima goes with that. But you're like a guy on a mission to like connect society again and save them from the brink of extinction. So this is what comes out of the Polygon article. The Polygon article from Patricia Hernandez entitled Death Stranding Gameplay Details Finally Explained, which, by the way, if you're listening to this, I highly recommend going and watching that trailer. I know it's not practical for me to tell you to pause this show and go watch it. Especially if you're in the car. Don't do it if you're in the car. Please God. But, you know, I'm not really going to tell you what's happening in the trailer or what happens in the trailer, besides the fact that we saw gameplay where he's like, you kind of have like Breath of the Wild-esque like navigational tools, you know, like, and by that I mean like in Breath of the Wild, you have like the ice thing and the magnet thing and whatever thing. And this, you have like tools like a ladder and a rope thing and another thing that helps you get around this environment. But from the Polygon article, I'm just going to quote from it. Their little summary of the synopsis. After the collapse of civilization, Sam Bridges, that's Norman Reedus, has to save everyone from the brink of extinction, the website says. The Death Stranding refers to supernatural events that occur after a series of mysterious explosions. These areas of impact are plagued with otherworldly creatures that threaten to kill all life. As Sam Bridges, you'll brave that wasteland to try and save everyone. Most of this is her now, we could have guessed to some degree after watching the trailer footage. Other little bits and pieces from like the little gameplay synopsis that they have on their website. Protect your supplies from wild bandits and stay safe from terrifying beached things, or face failing those who depend on you. The game emphasizes the terrain, which will be full of obstacles to overcome. The goal is to find a route through the supernatural elements that can alter the surrounding landscape. Death Stranding will have online functionality, but it won't be typical co-op. Instead, it'll be asynchronous gameplay. I fucking nailed that word! Oh, you motherfucker. Ooh, that's what I talk about, baby. I fucking fuck up vocabulary. Hell yeah. Asynchronous gameplay where you could send supplies, share safe houses, and walk in the footsteps of fellow couriers to reunite civilizations. So there's like some kind of Dark Soulsian kind of like other players are existing in here, and you could like leave like items for them and help and messages and all these other things. I have no idea how much that will impact your gameplay. Like, is this a game you could pick up 2 years down the line and still have the same experience with it? Like, that's something I'm curious about. Because in Souls, you typically can, but there's always that, like, you know, when you play a Souls game when it first comes out, and everybody is on the same page for the most part, you don't have these assholes who, like, Soul level 400 come waltzing through with their big dong and wreck you. You know, not that this has PvP, but it's just nice to kind of have that initial zeitgeist if this game is so reliant on mechanics like these. So I'm really curious how the online connectivity will be, and how different is it if you turn your internet off? You know, like, you just miss out on those elements, or is the game itself really dependent on that? So I'm really curious about that and learning more how that goes. Kojima has another excerpt from her article. She says, another interesting feature, Kojima's latest game won't have a typical fail state. If you are defeated, you'll reappear in an upside-down realm that you can escape from. Choose your combat methods carefully, as killing your foe is almost never the solution, and every death carries a consequence. So you gotta, like, navigate this world and deliver stuff, and you have a baby in a tank, and you connect it to a tube, and it lets you see the enemies, and then Mads Mikkelsen's chasing you, and then these guys with cattle prods are trying to shock you. So you use a ladder and you climb a mountain. And then at one point in the trailer, there's World War I tanks. And then Troy Baker shows up and cries black goo. And then you talk about Bridge Baby some more. So it's an interesting looking game. But the big news in all this is that it comes out November 8th. It took me 12 minutes to get to the fucking release date, which is the actual news here. Because it's not like we learned anything else about the story. November 8th, man. That's shocking to me because I did not think this game was that close. And then you remember that this game's been kind of being shown off for like 3 to 4 years now. But like, it was in such a rough conceptual stage, you know, so many years ago. So like, I feel like they kind of crushed this thing, I feel. Because on November 8th, one of the other big rumors this week was that we would get a Last of Us trailer state of play thing and a release date for the fall. But it turns out that according to Kotaku and Jason Schreier, that Last of Us Part 2 is likely delayed till early 2020. So this looks to be Sony's big exclusive for the fall, is Death Stranding, which again, unexpected. Did not think this game was anywhere near done. I thought it would be a PlayStation 5 title. Out of everything announced, you know, out of Sony's arsenal, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us, and this was the last one I imagined coming out this fucking year. So, Cool beans, Kojima. I'm interested. The trailer's cool. I think there's some really neat concepts in there. The acting seems really, really cool. The world's just super mysterious and neat and interesting. And we saw gameplay, but I want to see longer form gameplay of it. You know what I mean? Like, we saw him running through the open world getting chased by people. Is the combat only in that upside down world? Because in the overworld, when he's getting chased by the cattle prod dudes, he's like running. Oh, no, he does. He beats them up with his fists. Never mind. Go watch the trailer, everybody. It looks really neat. I'm interested in it. Plus, Norman Reedus is just cool. And there's some really great people in here. The one girl from The Leftovers, I forget her name, that's so disrespectful. If you're listening, girl from The Leftovers, I am so sorry. I'm not even going to bother looking it up because I'm moving on. But, don't be mad at me. Today, as of recording this, we got the reveal of the next Call of Duty. I know, I'm not sure what the crossover of Permadeath listeners and Call of Duty fans are. And I know I've talked about Call of Duty like 2 or 3 times on this show over the last 2 months. But today is the big reveal of the next Call of Duty game. And I actually think this is a pretty significant Call of Duty in terms of the shift and pivot that this series and the things that I've been talking about on the show when talking about Black Ops 4's monetization or talking about whatever on what direction Call of Duty needs to go. And I think there's some really great things to unpack out of this reveal. So we got Call of Duty Modern Warfare. No, you are not mistaken. I'm not even going to make a fucking joke on it because everyone's made jokes on it already. I honestly don't think it's that big a deal, naming it. We've learned over the years that video game developers and companies and publishers suck at naming things. So they just kept it simple. I punched my mic there. Sorry. They just kept it simple and just they're soft rebooting the Modern Warfare series. Captain Price and Soak McTavish, they're all back. And Mr. Lope by Infinity Ward. And if I, what I recall reading is true, back a few weeks ago, I read that some like key map designers from like the original games are back to kind of pen some maps for this game. So I might be talking out my booty on that one. But hey, if so, great. Because Modern Warfare 1 and 2, some of the best Call of Duty maps of all time. But why this announcement is significant is there is no season pass. Call of Duty, the last old man clutching its pearls with its fucking map packs, has finally abandoned the notion that you need to sell map packs in 2019, man. I still remember the first map pack ever released for Halo 2. And it was cool as shit back then. It was like, whoa, new maps. You know? And now for people on console, it was cool. But for people on PC, also, back then, still used to getting their maps for free in the Quake world, in the Unreal world, in the Counter-Strike world. But me, young lad on Xbox Live, my first online shooting experience. Mom, I gotta have these maps. And we're just now finally shaking them off like fleas. The last flea has been blasted into the atmosphere. As Call of Duty Modern Warfare announces no season pass, DLC is free. Now, big deal, I know. Now their aggressive monetization that's in Black Ops 4 can at least make somewhat a little bit of sense. But the other big thing, crossplay. That's huge, honestly. And I know, like, Fortnite, biggest game in the world, blah, 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 is crossplay. It's already been, you know, soil's been broken. But, like, I always just felt like, you know, Fortnite kind of muscled its way into doing that. Having Call of Duty, you know, love it or hate it, one of the biggest franchises of all time, you know, step foot forward and embrace the crossplay future is a really nice sign for all major multiplayer games going forward. That's exciting for many, many reasons, not just for Call of Duty. Because everybody talks about crossplay now when these games come out, these multiplayer games are announced. And it's always a thing of like, oh man, will it have crossplay? And the developers, oh, I don't know. You know, and it's always the thing of like, well, does Sony like it? Does Microsoft play ball? Who's not playing ball? I feel like, excluding Fortnite, having something like Call of Duty come out and go, hey, we've got it. We have crossplay. Really kind of makes no excuse for any major multiplayer game going forward. Because now it isn't just Fortnite and Rocket League. You know, or Dauntless. You know, It's Call of fucking Duty. So, next Battlefield game. Where is it? Overwatch on console. When are you enabling it? You know? Destiny 3. Where is it at? That will ripple forever now. And I am very excited about that. As somebody who has a brother who plays Xbox, as somebody who likely won't buy an Xbox, especially with, you know, them putting a lot of focus on PC, which is really, I'm really thankful for. I would love to play a game with my brother, like, again, you know, like I used to do. And neither one of us is going to make the other buy the other's platform, you know, so having a Call of Duty game come out and be crossplay. Now the specific details of it have not been, packaged out, but I can't imagine it's just PC, PS4, PC, Xbox. That'd be so fucking stupid. But beyond that, new engine as well. They have completely, according to the PR, according to their announcement, completely scrapped the, cause they've been rocking that Unreal fucking engine they've been using since Call of Duty 4. They've just been building on it and modifying it. They have built a new engine from the ground up to be more photorealistic. The trailer looks beautiful. And if you're a fan of Modern Warfare and you know, and that series is French and lore and its characters and everything, you're going to be really happy with the trailer. I really like everything I'm hearing so far. Now, the only weird thing is there's still that 1 week exclusivity on new content on PS4, which in the realm of crossplay is weird because for that 1 week, PS4 players, what, can't play with Xbox people or PC people? Don't know. Yeah, we saw the campaign trailer so far, and a lot of YouTube channels have their campaign little impression previews up at the moment. Yeah, no multiplayer shown yet. Whether that will be shown before E3 or at E3, which will be the interesting thing, right? Because Call of Duty for this entire generation partnered with Sony, and they're obviously still partnering with Sony as they have timed exclusivity on content. Where will it be shown? Because Sony is not holding anything at E3 this year. Will it be at Microsoft? Will it be a thing where, okay, Sony has to basically say, we can't stop these people from showing their shit. It's rude. But just because we don't want to go doesn't mean Activision shouldn't be able to show Call of Duty somewhere. Will it show up at Microsoft? Will they just release the fucking trailer on YouTube without showing it anywhere? But there's something to be said about having like 60,000 viewers watching your stream and then showing the game out to that. So maybe we'll see the multiplayer footage at Microsoft's conference, because Microsoft's conference is the big daddy this year. Yeah. There's some interesting stuff in the campaign. They're talking about some kind of unified narrative experience and progression across a heart racing epic single. Now I'm just reading the PR speak. I thought that was a quote from a human being, not a PR machine. Sorry. So here's what Dave Stoll, co-studio head of Infinity Ward, says. This is an all-new Modern Warfare reimagined in every way. We are creating an emotionally charged experience that's inspired by the headlines in the world today. Oh, brother. Where the rules are gray and battle lines are blurred. Buddy, I'll tell you right now, I'm not touching it. Players will join a varied cast of international special forces and freedom fighters in gripping and heart-pounding missions through iconic European cities and volatile expanses of the Middle East. It's intense. It's exciting. We can't wait for our fans to play this October. October 25th, by the way, is when this game comes out. Here's a direct quote from Patrick Kelly about the crossplay stuff. With the launch of Modern Warfare, we're taking steps to unite the community. First, we plan for Modern Warfare to be played together across PC and console through cross-play support. Second, we're eliminating the traditional season pass so that we can deliver more free maps and content as well as post-launch events to all players. Wow, these screenshots look nice as shit. Sorry, you guys can't see those. But, cool. That's exciting for PC people, too, because the PC Call of Duties nowadays tend to die out very fast. Very quickly. Call of Duty's not really a PC-centric game anymore. But clearly they want it to be, and it's nice if they can bolster their numbers that way. Speaking of PC, one of my things I've been waiting for, because we've had rumblings of this over the last few months, as to when Microsoft was going to announce its full revamp of Xbox Game Pass on the PC. Because it exists on PC, but in a very, very bare state. You can, subscribe to Game Pass and play some of the newer, Play Anywhere titles. You could subscribe and play Sea of Thieves. You could subscribe and play Forza Horizon 4, State of Decay 2. But it's really not worth it to subscribe just on PC. I mean, unless you're really into Forza, or you really want to play Sea of Thieves for like a month, take advantage of Phil Spencer's generous dollar deal. But otherwise, beyond that, there's not much value to it, on PC. But they announced today, with more information to be revealed, at a later date, at E3, on June 9th, that Sunday, they will be going over the games that are included, and I assume releasing the full list. It's going to launch with 100-plus high-quality PC games from over 75 content partners, including Bethesda, Deep Silver, Devolver Digital, Paradox, Sega, Xbox Game Studios. So I'm just going to try to cherry-pick some lines from their official press release, the official blog post written by Phil Spencer. We believe the player should be at the center of their game. Now, I'm reading PR speak. Where's the juice, Phil? Where's the goddamn juice? Okay. So yeah, this was interesting. When people were talking about Xbox Game Pass coming to PC, my thoughts were oh man, well, since like PC and Xbox One are so similar in architecture in a way, like, well, they just have some crazy way to let you play Xbox, every Game Pass game, it's on Game Pass on Xbox currently, on PC through some kind of sick fucking system. But it looks like it's going to be its own set of games. If what I'm reading here is what I interpret it as, this is Phil Spencer talking. We researched whether a similar opportunity exists for PC players and PC game developers, and we believe that it does. We also consider the importance of bringing something new and additive to the PC gaming ecosystem, and we believe that we can. So, we designed a service specifically for the needs of PC gamers and PC game developers. It's called Xbox Game Pass. I'm sorry. I was expecting it to be called something else. It's the first time reading this article. We oh, it's gonna be such a guffaw. It's called Xbox Game Pass, just like the original, but it's a new experience that we are building together with the PC community. Xbox Game Pass for PC will give players unlimited access to a curated library of over 100 high quality PC games on Windows 10. From well-known PC game developers and publishers, such as, Bill already said these, Bethesda, Deep Silver, Devolver Digital, Paradox Interactive, Sega, and more. And just as we committed on the console, it is our intent to include new games from Xbox Game Studios and Xbox Game Pass for PC, the same day as a global release. We know this already. Including titles from newly acquired studios like Obsidian and In Exile. We're working with over 75 developers and publishers to bring PC content to the service, and we'll ensure the library remains curated and full of great PC titles across a variety of genres, with new games added every month. Oh, Xbox Game Pass for PC members will also receive discounts in the Microsoft Store. I don't want to use the Microsoft Store, unless they revamp it when this comes out. So, 20% deal. That's pretty nice. 10% discount off DLC. Interesting. We look forward to sharing more at E3, including the great games coming to the library, as well as more details on when and how you'll experience the new Xbox Game Pass. I'm really, 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 really excited for this. The value that I get from services like Humble Monthly, like Plus, you know, like, nothing else I'm subscribed to, but like the value I get out of things like that, the amount of games that I get to experience or own or whatever, that like, I just let my Humble Monthly just always charge me every month. I have no issue keeping that up because there's always at least two or three things in there that I am interested in booting up. And are they always blockbusters? No, but statistically, it's fucking impossible. And, you know, I'm sure contractually and from a business standpoint, it's fucking impossible. But I appreciate these services so much because it also lets you experience games you might not have had on your radar or games you might not have spent full money on or, you know, at all. So it's a really, I love, and like, I put all this on Microsoft. Like, Game Pass was such a huge success. They knocked it out of the park with Game Pass. And I really wish, like, PlayStation had something similar. I mean, they have PlayStation Now, which you could download PS4 games, but it's just not the same, especially from a pricing perspective. PlayStation Now is pretty fucking expensive. And, you know, having this on PC, having them add new games every month, and then also I have access to the Forzas and, you know, to the Halos and stuff, these games that are under Microsoft Studios, these first-party games, that's just awesome. Like, these are reasons why I love, and I've said it on the E3 prediction, I have a whole big thing I talk about Microsoft and how much I appreciate what they're doing. I'll go into a little bit here. I love them right now. I really love their philosophies on things and the way that they treat the PC ecosystem. And yeah, their Windows 10 store kind of sucks balls. But, like, from a consumer standpoint, I feel like they have all these things in place that kind of Sony doesn't. Fucking refunds, for God's sake. I love Microsoft's attitude towards the greater gaming community, not just their own. Oh, PC people. Yeah, you know what? You guys play on our operating system. Let's fucking treat you guys right and put shit on there. Thank you, Phil. That's awesome, man. That's a really great way to look at it. Xbox is a brand. Microsoft is the overall brand. PCs are Microsoft platforms. Yes, thank you. Xbox on my PC? Awesome. It's so obvious to do, and they're doing it. And I appreciate that as someone who doesn't own an Xbox, because there are so many Microsoft games, or there's so many services they offer that I would love to take advantage of. And for Game Pass to be coming to PC in such a big way, I will subscribe day one, man. I will be there to support something like this because I think it's very valuable to people. I think it's very valuable to developers as well. You know, it's a really great way to get games out there. And I'm super excited for Microsoft's conference. I you know, whether it's new hardware, whether it's not new hardware, whether it's, I'm just talking about Game Pass for 2 hours. I'm super stoked to learn more about this. And when it'll launch, I don't know if it says in here when it's launching. No, but it's more information on E3. So, yeah. That's all I got on the news perspective. Again, there's like Baldur's Gate 3 rumors that I had on my rundown, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's a rumor that could be debunked in the process of uploading this fucking video. Just know that Larian Studios, the developers of Divinity's Original Sin 1 and 2 and the Divinity games, might be teasing a game with a 3 after it. And someone's digging around in the code and found some Baldur's Gate shenanigans. Brian Fargo and other people involved in the Baldur's Gate franchise in the past have been tweeting and teasing. So, that's exciting for Baldur's Gate fans because Larian Studios is a top-tier CRPG developer right now. But again, I'm not talking about it. I just talked about it. But I'm not talking about it any further. Instead, we're going to close the show with some video game impressions. Blood and Truth. I've been playing the latest PlayStation VR exclusive. By the way, I've been playing a lot of VR shit. I can technically talk about all the Oculus stuff I've been playing, but I'll save that for the Permadeath podcast. But I want to talk about the biggest, next big exclusive coming from a first-party Sony, London Studios, with the PlayStation VR, which you might be familiar with if you played the Playroom London Heist thing, which is now, we now have Astrobot gets a full game, and now London Heist gets a full game. And I think that's really great, you know, to see those little proof of concept demos from PSVR blossom into something special. And Astrobot came and knocked out of the park, and I am happy to report, as are every other critic, Blood and Truth has knocked it out of the park. This game rules. I'm about two hours into it, 2.5 hours into it, maybe closer to three. And yeah, the music in this, I haven't played. Like, again, I'm just dipping my toes now into PC VR with Oculus, so I haven't, like, played Lone Echo or anything like that yet. I haven't really played any, like, big-budget, like, AAA action blockbustery games in VR until now, and man, it's just awesome. Hearing that this was originally a getaway game also makes sense. But yeah, just as other reviewers have said, you know, it's like playing a Guy Ritchie movie. You're a soldier in the army, and you get a phone call that your dad died of a heart attack, and your family runs like a little crime syndicate in London. And right after your dad dies, one of the other crime boss guys comes in and tries to basically clean up and buy your family. And he's like making power moves now that the dad's gone. And it's you who's in from the military, your brother, sister, and your mother fighting back against them and just doing these, like, it's just really awesome. You know, it's like a mix of like a Time Crisis-y type thing where you're not like free moving around. You have like little checkpointed areas to go, but it's not necessarily teleportation movement either. Like it's kind of on rails in a way, like in a linear way. But just the set pieces that it puts you into and just the different uses of VR and the, you know, different, you know, collectibles to find and the way that you use your toolkit and like lock picking and using lighters and there's a lot of really, and climbing up ladders with VR and, you know, like shimmying through a fucking vent. There are all these really cool ways to immerse yourself in it, and it's just really, really damn fun. I'm just having a blast with it. I have nothing much to really say about it of substance, aside from the fact that it's worth it. You know, it's one of another VR game that's come out, another exclusive for PSVR that just knocks it out of the park, and is living up to the hype so far. That about does it for this week's Permadeath Weekly. I hope you enjoyed the show. Before I give you the usual housekeeping that we bookend things with, I'm going to start giving you guys a recommendation of the week that is non-gaming related. I like a lot of things. I watch a lot of things. I listen to a lot of things. And I want to spread some of those things around to y'all. and things that I think are special or things that I think that maybe the people who listen to this might like. So the first time I'm doing this, I'm going to recommend a audio drama podcast that I listen to called King Falls AM. I've been listening to this for 2 years now, and it releases every other week. The stage is set for it. They are an AM radio talk show in a really small mountain town, very Twin Peaksy, King, you know, Stephen Kingy, Alan Wake type of deal, where supernatural things go on. And the thing you're listening to is their AM radio show, and the different phone calls that they receive, and the overarching storylines that happen. The acting is super good. The music is frankly amazing. Cameron Chambers does an amazing job with the music in that show. And yeah, I'm just continuously impressed with that. That show has some incredible highs. They do such a great job with their character work and their writing, and their suspense buildup, and very creative fellows over there working on King Falls AM. So yeah, check it out. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And yeah, if you like it. If you listen to that and end up liking it, let them know I sent you. They don't know who I am, but I bet you they'd appreciate it. So that has been Permadeath Weekly. Let me know what you think of the show. You can tweet us directly at Permapodcast. You can tweet me directly at Peppered Ham. You can find us on Discord. Links to that are in the YouTube description down below. If you can't find it there and you need it, tweet me. I'll send it to you. You can also email us at permadeathpodcast@gmail.com. Do that. That's fun. I like reading those. When we get one, it's like, whoa, we got an email. Yeah, and look out for our post-E3 thoughts after E3, which is in 2 weeks. Listen to our E3 2019 predictions if you have forgotten I said that that's out. Also, episode 45 still exists as well. If you haven't gotten to that, check that out as well. Lots of fun stuff coming to the Permadeath Podcast feed. Hope you enjoy the show, everybody. I bet you thought I was gone. I bet you thought I was gone. Oh, you thought I was gone, you fucking idiot. Oh, my.